Hey, greetings everybody. This is Brother James, DontParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, right back to you. We finished Matthew 17. We're going to start Matthew 18. Starting right off. Let's get right at it. Hope you're having a great day today. Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of God?" All right, so here we have disciples asking a question. They're asking Jesus, who is the greatest of the disciples? God is so loving to teach us. And Jesus always used questions for teaching. Here we see the disciples approaching him to find out who's the greatest. I have to wonder, were they comparing other men that they knew might have passed into heaven or thought that did, or were they comparing maybe how they were going to be? We know how the disciples were, right? A little fleshly at times. Jesus says this in verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. All right, so Christ gives them a hint right here to help answer the question. He brings the answer right into their midst, or at least a hint of the answer right into their midst. A small child. Do you recall this from Matthew 11:11? Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, not there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." That verse has kind of stumbled a lot of people, but you know what I think it really means? I think I covered that when I did my verse by verse in Matthew chapter 11. I think it really means that whatever's in heaven and whoever's in heaven is far greater than whoever's on earth. That means heaven is just so much greater than earth. That's what I think it means. A lot of other meanings, but that's a good context meaning of that. Verse 3, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." All right, so I really like this concept that he's laying out here. It has a lot of depth to it. Let's look at that word converted, strepo. It means turn or change your mind. Adults have to change from their own way of thinking to God's ways to enter the kingdom of God. It's a lot like the word repentance, metanoia, change of mind, change of ways. In Acts 28:27, it says, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with eyes and hear with ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." So the writer's talking about they got to turn from those ways and be converted, and God will heal them. Again, similar word of convert there. Similar word. So let's think about this. A child, small child, under his parents' guidance, he has no authority over the dad. Really none over the mom, but the dad is the main authority in the house, or the head authority. And so they have to go along with, trust, obey, and do whatever dad lays out, whatever dad decides, whatever dad dictates for the house and his life. The child must obey, and he has no life set apart for himself. Really, very little maybe. Playtime here and there. But he's overseen, he's watched, he's controlled, he's told what to do, where to go, what to eat, right? That's how we raise up children. We let them do their own way. Ever ponder that? Children have no real life or authority of their own. They live it all out under the parents' edict, parents' ways, parents' wishes, parents' desires. Their will is totally surrendered to the parents. But once they grow up, then they gain a life and more freedom of their own in many cultures. That's how we're called to lose our adult life for Christ. Just like that. Like a child to a father. That's how we're called to the kingdom of God. Childlike faith. "Your will be done, Father," as the Lord's Prayer says. Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. All right. Got to lose your life to find the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was teaching was all about. That's what he's talking about here. You can't have your own life and have the kingdom of God. Yeah. A little child doesn't have their own life. They're under the submitted will of their parents completely and totally. Also notice, in order to have faith, we have to become. That's a verb word, like a child. Faith and works. You got faith, you become like a child to enter the kingdom of God. It's all over God's word, faith and works. Don't be deceived, anybody telling you any different. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. All right. Again, we got to go over this. What does a child do? He humbles and submits to his father's will in all things, unless the father gives him some freedom here or there. But he has no real separate life or will of his own, and very much of a majority at all. This is a humbling act. A child needs to learn to be humble. I'm out on the street. Hope you can hear me. I try to time it out. So a child has to be humble, right? What is that word, humble? Humble means tepenu. It means humiliation, condition, abase, bring low, to make low, bring low, level, reduce, to a plane, to bring humble, reduce, demeanor, circumstances, lower rank, a rank below others. Humble, lowly. That's what Jesus was. That's what we're supposed to be. So we're to lower ourselves to the Father in heaven, to Christ in the order of authority, in all of our ways, wants, desires, dreams, pursuits, how we act, talk, dress, live, how we spend our money, who we associate with. This is submitting your will humbly before the Father, of course, through Christ. And this is how you enter the kingdom of God. This is how you are considered great in the kingdom of God. That verse just said it. John said, John the Baptist said, I must decrease so Christ can increase. John 3:30. So let's look at this concept that Jesus is talking about, children in the kingdom of God. Children who do that for their parents, humbly lower their life, submit, they're praised as respectful and obedient. Are they not? They are. The ones that don't and do their own will, what are they called? Selfish brats. Spoiled. Yeah. And churchianity that claims Christ is much like the spoiled brats. They have many, many, many false ways. Pagan holidays, feminization, false gospels, worldliness, carnality. They act as selfish brats to do their own way and not the Father's will. You see my point here. We don't want to be like a spoiled brat. We don't want to be like churchianity. We don't want to be like the world rebelling against the Father. We want to be like children of God, submitting our will, our ways, everything under the authority, the word, the truth, and the glory of God. Isn't that an awesome thing? Lose your life, lose your will, lose your ways, saints, seekers, if you're listening, and submit it all under God. And you, if you endure via the gospel, will be great in the kingdom of God. Verse 5, and whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. All right, so here's a good place. We're looking at this word child. Paideion, it means a small child, just what it says. But it can also mean an immature Christian, as we're all are considered children of God. In this verse, next verse here, 1 John 5:2, we see a different Greek word for children, but the context is kind of the same. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. So, children, a little bit different Greek word, but same concept. We're all children of God. Some are very small, small children. Some are children born of God's Spirit, right? So, what Jesus says here is, if you receive a little one in my name, you receive me. All right, so what does this mean? Well, I think the best logical connection to this is, in Jesus' day, kings would send messengers. They couldn't go all over. Kings wouldn't go all over. They would send messengers. So they would send a messenger to another king or to another ruler, and that messenger would act in the place of the king. And if that messenger showed up and he said, I'm from King so-and-so, and you received that messenger from King so-and-so, it was the same as if you received King so-and-so. You see my point? But if that messenger showed up and he said, I'm the messenger of King so-and-so, and you said, I reject you, or you beat him up, or you harmed him, oh, you just disrespected that King so-and-so. He might send his army after you. I think that's what this is talking about here. If we receive a little one in Christ's name, we receive him. We have to ponder that. When people are truly biblical, holy, and obedient, yeah, they're going in Christ's name. We need to take note of that. If they're worldly, carnal, churchianity, false gospel, false ways, claiming Christ's name, that's a whole nother story. We need to test them. Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. Reject false doctrine. Paul says, mark and avoid those that don't keep sound doctrine. Always, always, always do these things in context and use all of the Word of God to help you, saints. Make sense? Verse 6. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depths of the sea. All right, so here we have a dire, dire warning. Take note. If anyone offends, that's that word scandalizo, scandal, causes them to sin, fall away, be offended, it's better if a millstone be around your neck and you be cast in the ocean. What was a millstone? A millstone was a round rock they would use to grind grain. I used to have like a grinding wheel. I got a picture of me holding it. Big, heavy rock. You don't want one around your neck and go in the water. You drowned. Did you notice it says it would be better if he had a millstone around his neck and cast in the sea? That means if you offend one of Jesus' little ones, one of his believers, it's going to be worse for you than drowning in the sea. Yeah, just ponder that. It's going to be worse for you. I wonder what that means for all of the people that this affects. This is a far-reaching verse, but it includes all the false teachers that stumble little ones, those who pray and hurt and harm children, deceivers, whatever kind that is, wicked parents who try to ruin their children's pure faith, governments, school, entertainment, culture. Yeah, it's all under that warning about the millstone around your neck. You know, I think of today, especially all the false churchianity places. I think of all the corrupt entertainment, sports, media. And then I think about the very, very corrupt sexual perversion going on with homosexuals, drag queens, aimed and targeting small children. Oh, I do not want to be them in eternity lest they repent. What a terrible, terrible fate stands before them. Notice also Jesus says, those who believe in me. So the context is about those who are believing in him and are stumbled. He's looking after his sheep. And I just got to tell you this. When I go out and street preach, Sister Debbie can back me up on this. I don't think I've ever met an atheist small child. Hear me now. Preteens, 12 and under. I don't think out of the hundreds, maybe a couple thousand children I've probably talked to with their parents standing there or them just coming up to me, I don't think I've ever met an atheist, small child. I guess the only ones that might qualify is I have a lot of homosexual small children coming up to me these days, calling me names when I've never even mentioned homosexuality, just when I preach Jesus. So they're kind of in a different title, topic, different category. But the most of the small children I see in the streets believe in God. They'll wave and say they believe in Jesus, only to later in life be stumbled by the corrupt churches, their parents, the culture, the schools, Satan's world. This is his kingdom. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the world is Satan's kingdom. So we need to have a good understanding of what Jesus is talking about here. Make sure we're not part of that stumbling, and then look to protect children from anyone we know that is causing them to stumble. All of this verse-by-verse Bible study requires that we have a good, mature understanding, that we not be like children in our understanding, but be like our children in our pure, humble faith. This verse explains it. Ready? 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. I like that. That means be wise as grown-up saints when it comes to discernment and how we walk, but then be as innocent and pure as children in the rest of our lives. That's really our charge when we get down to it. We have to come like children to the kingdom. We have to submit our wills fully to the Father. We can't have our own life, our own ways. No. We got to trust in the Father, trust in His Word, keep His Word. And then we can be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus was talking about when the disciples asked Him, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I don't know about my desire to be great in the kingdom of heaven, but you know, I do have a desire. I want to serve God with all that I am, and I want to apply all these principles to my life. I want to study the scriptures to know what I should live, act, talk, look, dress like, who I should associate with. And you know what? If you do that, saints, if you do that same thing, even if it's not your desire to be great in heaven, because I kind of just want to be the janitor in heaven. I hope God lets me in and I can be the janitor in heaven. But if you do all those things I just said according to God's word, you will be great in heaven. Is that not exciting? I think we're going to leave it right there. We're going to pick up next time Matthew 18. We'll start at verse 7. Hope you're enjoying the Matthew 18 study. Trying to slow it down, trying to take little bits and pieces. Don't want to jam too much. Don't want to make 30, 40 minute audios. I know a lot of you have busy lives. I want to make sure that you're able to fit these in where you can without blocking them up, chopping them up with a little block. So we'll be back again soon, getting ready to do a big street preach this weekend at a patriotic pagan 4th of July event. Pray for ears to hear and eyes to see as we read about in Scripture. Hey, we love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. May God be praised.